This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dynamic Banter!
Mike and Steve are gonna do bits and have some fun!
Dynamic Banter!
Mark and Horn!
And make it good!
Dynamic Banter!
Don't forget the history road!
Dynamic Banter!
Time to shut up!
It's not so!
Did you see that? When she came back down, she found a flower in space.
Lisa found a flower in space.
Space.
You gotta send the ladies up in a rocket, find a flower in there.
We went to space for some world peace, but we're all celebrities and it cost a billion dollars to
send us to space just to take a couple pictures. We come back down to space and then I exit my tour. Is it my tour?
The guy trying to figure out the electronic drum set. It's my first day with it. I just haven't pressed all the buttons yet. That sounds like a robot doing this.
Hey, baby, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey,
Mike.
Is Bobby there? Is Baby Bobby around?
Is Baby Bobby? Hey, can I speak to... I know, can you put Baby Bobby on the phone?
Is Baby Bobby around?
Mike!
You know what I heard? I heard there's a new Be Nice or Not Be Nice song.
What? Wait, really? In our email? In our email? Oh, shit. Well, we'll get there.
Did you know that?
We'll get there. Guys, welcome back to Dynamic Banter. Mama Mia, it's been a minute.
Did you make whatever this is?
Nope.
This is great. This is like, I walk around and I hear this resting. It's if nice. I'm in a fine mood, this is happening in the.
I want to shoot like a little thing to this.
I want to shoot a documentary about sneakers.
I want to shoot a documentary about this.
About this moment.
About this right now.
The first time we heard this
song. Dude, it's been so long and we're doing this frustrating thing. That we don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
What are you talking about?
Can we talk about it?
Please.
So Jesse Stillwell, if you watch Before the Banter on our patreon.com/dynamicbanter, you'll know that we do a show called Before the Banter.
Good.
And Kevin Plackey shoots that and edits that.
Kev, thanks.
Also, Kevin, did you edit the golf video?
The mini golf.
And all those clips, are those clips just clips from the video? Like,
yeah.
I forgot how well edited that one is.
We never see that stuff.
We don't.
I've seen that once.
I've seen it once.
For us to be like, it's done.
Yeah. But it's so fun and funny and like, there's this running gag where Mike's playing the guitar on the golf club and Kevin puts some different song on every time you see it.
That's so funny, dude.
It's like, doo 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 doo, and then it cuts away. It's like, da-da-da, da-da-da. But it's such a funny bit, so I just wanted to give you a shout-out on that edit, and shout-out to Corey for cutting it into a clip.
Yeah.
And fuck it, shout-out to Leah and Josh.
Dude, the whole team.
It's a good team.
Whole squad's up here. Man, do I wish we had money to give them.
I wish you had money to pay them what they're all worth.
No, actually, that's not the truth. I wish we had money afterwards.
Yes. Yes.
But they're all killing it for money.
Yes.
We are trying to find different places to live, but they are absolutely destroying
it. I wish we could chill on top of paying our team what they deserve.
I wish I could get a massage. I don't care what kind. It could be the kind where you get arrested at the end. I just need one massage.
I just miss dinner.
I'm thinking about doing a GoFundMe that we just send to like our team of people, like Corey, Josh.
Well,
Kevin.
That's what the Patreon is.
No, no, no. We send them like.
Oh, I see.
Help us.
They've
relax
got their
for
own GoFundMe for us.
Yeah. Yes.
Can you guys, Leah? Can you make us a GoFundMe?
Leah, I need a graphic
Leah,
for a GoFundMe.
We need more money.
And we will pay you for that. Casey Landerkin, can we get a GoFundMe logo?
Yeah. It's a good team, man. It's good folks. And I wanted to actually give Josh a shout out because
dude,
those
so
memes
good.
Have been great.
On point.
There was like a series, a carousel that he did on the Instagram.
Yes.
And I found that to be quite humorous and well made.
So funny, man. He has such a great sense of humor. He came to my show last time I was in Cleveland when we did Surrounded out there. I wasn't able to hang out with him very much, but it was good to see him.
That's cool.
Sometimes I don't know people are at the show until I'm like crowd working people. And I'm like talking to people around them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then I get to them and I'm like, nope. Who else is
here?
Yeah. But it's just nice to see everybody IRL, especially when we have such a distant team.
When was the last time Heather sat in the Surrounded?
She sits at the bar.
What was the last time she... Because she... There was a time
probably
that she did
like
sit there.
A year or two. No, it would have been over a year ago. But I had one of those iPhone memories recently of her with very different eyebrows. So it must have just been when she first moved here. But she's also...
Were those her spring eyebrows?
Those were her spring has sprung.
Her spring
brows. Her spring fling eyebrows. She's also been blowing the fuck up on TikTok. Do you watch any
of
her TikTok?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I'm out of TikTok.
Dude, she talks about AI.
Good for her.
And she just, like, breaks down all the, like, something in an AI picture that's weird.
Love that.
And she's, like, exactly what her personality is.
That's great.
And I'm like, dude.
She definitely found a voice and all that.
Yeah.
That's
it's just
awesome.
Her regular. I love it. Yeah. It's the best.
Well, it paid off. Like, because she's been doing that for a minute. Like, not the AI specific.
She
but,
just bought a house.
But she's been doing the whole, like, here's my observation on this little thing.
Is this really AI? Is this AI?
You know what, guys? I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I see stuff like this on the internet.
What's her thing, Kevin? Heather Zink? On TikTok?
Yeah, let me double check though.
Heather Raps.
Heather
with
Zink.
A Z. Something like that.
Z-I-N-K.
No, no, no. It's Stop Heather Time.
Stop Heather
dude,
Time.
Dude, I don't even know. That's a new one. She got rid of her Heather Zink one?
That's still her name.
Or she changed the name of her channel? I don't know. Whatever. She's I can't keep track of all this shit.
Fucking knows.
Dude, Mike, can I say that, some interesting things happened while you were out, and I'll give you multiple choice here, and whichever one we end up talking about, we won't talk about the other ones. I like that it's off and it's not focus group on this episode. What did you like about the KO2 bit Mike did? Well, I like that it was off.
I like that when he pressed it.
And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
I like when you did a visual bit that the audio listeners will not understand.
And there's no way to explain it to him afterwards.
There isn't. He's floating the mic around and almost like he's interviewing inanimate things on the table.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm fun. I'm not allowed to play with puppets anymore, so I gotta point
that's
the mic.
That's bullshit, at... dude. Who told you that? That really ruined it for us.
Dude, I should call him.
Who was it? Bill Cosby?
He would have. Bill Cosby told me, first of all, he goes, drink up. And he said, why don't you play with less puppets?
Drink up. No, finish your drink first. Nah. No one does Bill Cosby impressions.
He's working
anymore.
On making frozen Kodak film pops that you make in the freezer.
Yeah. I'm gonna develop these rolls of film. Blah, blah, and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, okay. So I'll give you three things that that I could bring up to you right now. And the one thing you choose will be the only, like, we won't talk about the other things for the rest of the whole, like, it's, that's it. So you choose which one you want to hear And that's where we'll go.
Can I have some time to think about it?
Yeah.
Even just the concept of doing it.
Just the concept of doing it. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Yeah.
Okay, sounds great. Good. Number one, Radio Shack. Like, you remember Radio Shack. So I have like memories of Radio Shack, and we can go down this whole Radio Shack hole.
Okay.
Two, my girlfriend and I saved a pelican's life. Okay, he's writing this down. Okay, you got that second one?
Two.
And number three, Fortnite Star Wars.
Okay. I know one I could wipe off the list immediately.
Okay.
I know what that is.
Which one do you think it is, Kevin? That's right.
Star Wars.
Saving a Pelican?
So I feel like Radio Shack will... That's not for everyone, unfortunately.
Definitely not.
Even though we can... No. That's like the Beatles of stores.
Yes, exactly. We could reminisce. And in fact, you know, since one of them was unequivocally something that you don't want to talk about, then we could at least, we could bring up Raider Shack later if we want.
I'll say this.
We can make up whatever we want.
Let's just, I'm going to cross out this list and I'm going to say we can do whatever we want.
Oh, great. Let's do whatever we want then.
You know what? Toss me one of those puppets.
Who ruined puppets for us?
My friend George, who I respect so much. One of my favorite artists. It's like if Casey Landerkin was like loving the show recently. Stop with the puppets. It's, you know me, and you know I wouldn't care about what 99.9% of the people in my life have to say. But I love this person so much. And this person made it very clear. It's like I'm getting sad. So, I always find it sad when comedians do puppets. But then I'll also say
sad.
And like maybe the most open-minded, artistically driven person I've ever known in my entire life. Like would never really shit on. It was one of those things where he was like, I mean, you do whatever, but.
I mean, I would lose my mind if some of my favorite comedians started like putting puppet stuff.
What if your favorite comedian was like, I love your podcast enough with the buttons. Don't do this.
Oh wow, that would devastate me.
What if I would be devastated. Bob Odenkirk was like,
oh,
I listened to a couple dynamic banters. And it's maybe the most genius, like old school radio show vibes, zany shit. Stop with the buttons, though. Stop. Funny.
Honestly, dude, I would listen to Bob. I would listen to Bob Odenkirk. And I'd be like, you know what? This show has eras.
Yeah.
And there was a time before the soundboard.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting? It's like when you're a comedian, you start because you're imitating whoever. I can give you a list of two or three people I was straight up just imitating when I started. And it's like the goal eventually is to lose your influences.
Yeah,
and
just
once you're a seasoned
your
person
thing.
Is to not be influenced by peers.
I
as
guess
much.
I like the like the like electronic toys is like you could probably go like Reggie Watts and like I don't know. I can't think of any other like pretty popular artists that were like including weird toys.
A lot
and
of
stuff.
People use like this thing now, the looper.
Yeah.
With Mark Rebay.
Yeah.
Mark Rebay.
Mark Rebay. There's a lot of funny guys out there.
I like using
a lot
of
folks.
Stuff once in a while. I like not being known as like the.
Yeah.
If we're known for anything, it's yelling and cum.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk was like, I think it's great, but the sounds are like, we're done.
Like, more
done
cum. You guys built your foundation on cum, and now you're pressing buttons.
I need you guys to dig back into cum.
I'm thinking about digging back in the cum.
I'd be like, anything you say,
yeah.
Mr. Odenkirk.
See, isn't it fucked that
anything
there's
you
like
say.
There's people in your life
that have that power.
Yeah. Like, I was always like, I never want to disappoint my parents because they gave me such a good life. So I kept a lot of things hidden for a long time. And now that I'm a guy, I'm like, I could disappoint my parents a little bit. We had a pretty good
life. Yeah, yeah. Because familial things are weird because it's like, you know, you could disconnect from your family and then reconnect with them, like, however you want or, like, however frequently that you want to. But, like, it should be pretty well known that, like, you, when you had a kid, you created a thing that would ultimately have its own dreams and wants and desires. And you have to, at some point, let that be.
Unless they're gay.
Unless they're gay. And in that case, straight to the incinerator. Throw them in the bin.
You got to bring them to Gay Fix It Camp.
Guys, on today's show, we've got a really awesome guest. We've got someone who is an expert at metal work. You know, like making metal. And we were like, we could get Nick Hamilton on, or we could get, you know, our friends who have movies coming out. But we were like, let's get down to the people that work in the world. Like, what even, how do you make metal?
Like a welder?
Well, no, welders connect metal. We got the guy. We got the guy that makes metal.
What's that called, Kai?
Blacksmith. I don't know, actually. We'll find out right after this.
He makes metal shoes. Smiting? Smiter?
Smelt.
Smelt.
He smelt it.
John Smelt.
How is metal made?
Who makes metal?
Who makes it? A metalsmith.
Metalsmith?
Metalsmith? We've got that's expert a good band metalsmith.
Name. Yeah.
Silversmith, blacksmith.
Today, we're at Miller Metal. Genuine Draft is real molten level metal level.
We have dual level molten metal.
We got molten, we got dual level, different levels of molten metal. That's what I'm talking about.
This is what I'm talking
and this is what I'm talking about.
This is choosing his own choices,
making his own decisions.
And this is what I'm talking about.
This is the metal guy?
This is our metal guy. All right, guys, we're coming back in from a commercial. And here we have our guest, and what a wonderful guest. Wonderfully dressed.
I know, he looks great.
Guest. What are you doing there? Calculations?
What? Am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Hi there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Dynamic Banter.
Oh, it's good to be here. I've never been on. What's that? Where did that come from?
That's okay, buddy. Don't worry about it. So, what is your name, sir?
My name is John Smelt.
John Smelt.
Yes, and I make metal, Steve.
Did you ever make He Who Smelt It? Smelt It?
He Who Smelt It Delta is often a joke around the office or on the lab, as we call it. Whenever we're making a new metal, we want the person to get credit for that new metal. We say, that belonged to Eric.
You guys
made... Therefore, Eric smelt it, and he also dealt it.
I'm here to pitch to you, He Who Smelt It, smelt it.
Whoa, what's that about?
Because you're a smelter, right?
Yeah.
And you do smelting, and you're a metalsmith.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating to me. And you mentioned very briefly different metals.
Yeah, gold, iron, big metal.
Okay. And you said you're an expert on
that. I'm an expert. Ask me any question about any metal. I'll be able to answer it. Well, silver.
Can you?
Aluminium. Big.
Okay. Can you walk us through the process of...
Like this?
Mining and...
Little joke.
I don't get it. That's all right. He's a silly guy.
He's trying to do a joke on a podcast.
That's okay. He's a silly guy.
We're the comedians. You're the... Smelts,
but that's okay because you can be yourself here.
Okay.
So can you walk us through the process of, okay, there he goes again.
Little joke.
And that's the second time you did it, though. So
I thought it would hit harder.
I know I did.
Sometimes
say
you workshop a joke.
Yeah. Well, not right away like that.
Got it.
You got to kind of wait to the next, like, not with the same crowd.
Got it. Got it.
All right. Can you explain to us the process of making metal?
Yes.
Starting from the top.
Sometimes you find metal in the ground. There's naturally occurring metals.
Okay.
Sometimes we use science, Kevin, science, to figure out how to make and mimic what we find in nature, and those are metals.
So I'm looking at a thing here that says that we're talking about ores.
Ores, yes.
And so you got it, and these are mineral-rich deposits.
Yeah, yes.
That are within the Earth's crust.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show started.
So, so to get down there, do you guys have to open ores?
We have to open ores. We have to sometimes, once we get the metal extracted, we have to close
ores. Close ores.
We have to open the ores. We have to close ores.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you don't mine it yourself.
No,
you,
I don't mine. It's my favorite.
No, but mining, like, to get the deposit. Okay, so he's doing more jobs.
Little joke.
Shit. Doing a little group. Okay, alright. Alright, buddy.
Do you have any questions about the process of finding metal?
Yeah, so let's talk about smelting.
Yeah.
So smelting is just melting.
Yeah, we melted, we smelt around.
But why do you call it smelting if it's just melting?
Well, it's different. I'm sure Kevin could look that up and tell us.
Or you're the expert.
I am the expert, but I get paid to educate children.
Well, we're basically children here.
Okay, well, here I go. I'm going to telepathically send the answer to Kevin, who will tell you about it. Fuck.
Well, is this just, it's just...
Smelting is the process by which we make and create metals.
What's your favorite thing that metal is used for?
Oh, metals is the structure of our very lives, Steve. We have metal in the tallest buildings, and we have metal in our blood.
Okay, that sounds like a really PR answer. I'm looking for your personal favorite.
My personal favorite, Steve?
Oh, that's even a great... Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Huh?
No, what's your personal favorite? Huh? No, you're good.
You're asking my personal favorite?
Yeah.
Metal?
Yes.
Gold.
Oh, okay. That's great. And okay.
You know why?
Yeah, why? Because
I got a bunch of it buried at my house for when the world ends.
Well, we're going to follow you home then and find out where you live, buddy.
Don't follow me. No.
Do you like the genre of metal?
What?
There he goes.
I'm gonna jack the fuck off. Music makes me jack the fuck off. I like it when I jack the fuck off. And the music makes me jack the fuck off. Jack the fuck off! Come on!
Alright, that's come it. I am starting to get the feeling like maybe jack the fuck off. I don't think I'm starting to get the feeling like that's not an expert in.
I don't like this guy.
Who is this guy?
I don't. Kevin, did you book
Kevin,
this
you
guest?
I mean, he knew about metals.
He knew stuff about metals. I would call that guy an expert.
I don't know. That was really bizarre.
That guy had heard of different metals before. That's that's where that guy ends.
Jack the fuck off! I've been in the room, jack the fuck off!
Hachi machi.
Mike, we're all over the place.
Yeah.
Where were you?
A couple weeks ago.
Young man.
I was in Austin for the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. And they treat us real, real nice down there. It's been going on for years. It's my favorite.
Austin's great, man.
I did a surrounded show every single night. And then I did a bunch of spots around town. I was on this show. Do you know who the Sklar Brothers
are? Yeah.
I was on the show called Tag It with the Sklar Brothers. And you do your set.
and they give you tags. They like punch up your jokes. And I had to follow Maria Bamford. Do you know who that is?
I love Maria Bamford so much.
And I was like nervous for the first time in a long time.
Dude, she's incredible.
Dude, it was awesome. It was awesome because I don't know that I had ever seen her live. And then the first time I see her live is from like behind the curtain waiting to go on.
I love that she still is doing it.
Yeah, she's so fucking funny. And then it was like me, Janine Garofalo, Pete Holmes.
Whoa, Janine Garofalo. How's she doing these
days? I've been hanging out with her a lot. Dude, she's really legitimately at the stand. Yeah, I told her I would help her figure out her phone last time we hung out.
She doesn't know how to use her phone.
She was also the one. I have this really cool hoodie that I like, and on the back it says like "fuck all y'all" or something, but like the U is a flower or something, so it's disguised.
Oh, that's great.
And she goes, "How old are we wearing that?" She's like, "How many more years do you think you got on that?"
I would have been like, "I could find a picture on the internet right now of you wearing something similar."
Yeah, but she would be like, "I was 27." She's so fucking nice and she's super sweet.
That's great.
And
I love that.
So that was Austin, and that was like a mess every night. First time I got really fucked up in like a long time was night 3 of 4. And holy moly.
Do you remember much about what happened?
I know your boy got crossfaded.
Oh, shit.
And I had this moment with Zoya that I was trying to have, like, reflection moment.
And she wasn't having it?
Dude, she's not going to be able to. She'll make fun of me so hard. She's probably not going to be able to pick up. But she made fun of me pretty tough for having this, like, nice reflective moment. I like stopped her on a street corner and I was like, look at us, dude. We're from Connecticut.
Thank you for calling.
Damn. Yeah. And you, dude.
And then the next day, like 8 hours afterwards, she was like this fucking pussy on the side of the road. That's was so like, funny. Look at us.
But so she wasn't on your level at all.
She usually when one of us is fucked up, when we're both fucked up, it's kind of dangerous. That normally happens at like weddings and it's fun. It's fun. But normally, day to day, we don't get fucked up that often. And then when we do, it's like one or the other.
Okay. So one stops drinking like while the other one's going for it.
Yeah.
That's pretty responsible.
So at the end of Moon Tower, Zoya went home and I went to New York. And I had shows at the stand, including one Surrounded that was maybe the best New York Surrounded we'd ever done.
Wow, that's awesome.
Our boy
man.
Ian Finance was on it.
Oh, he's so great.
And Katrina Davis and a bunch of really, really awesome people. Anywhere from like 3 to 6 shows a night. And I'm just tired. Just so tired.
You're
and
back.
Then I came back and I immediately, like literally the first thing I did when I was back in the house was edit a Mike in the Morning video for YouTube.
And you jacked the fuck off.
I jacked the fuck off. Yes. I haven't jacked the fuck off. I haven't jacked off in like a week.
Are you gooning?
Not on purpose. I'm busy. There's no time for me to rub up against my own self.
Not even while you're brushing your teeth?
I suppose I could string up some kind of apparatus. Some kind
like
of what's that machine where like it makes all the noises? The Rune Glyphberg machine.
John Ginsburg machine.
John Ginsburg. I'd have John Ginsburg jack me the fuck off and break plates behind me.
Rude Goldberg.
That's the one. The
Rude.
The goalie Goldberg from Goldbergs. Mighty Ducks machine. And then the other night, Tuesday, I went to the Comedy Store with this new lens that I got from my camera and I filmed a video for them.
Is that what that was? Oh, nice, man.
I was there until like 2 o'clock in the morning, edited it over yesterday and this morning.
Nice.
And I just haven't slept more than 4 hours in a month.
Dude, and then yesterday we did a commentarium.
Mm-hmm.
We did the second episode of the commentarium. Did you know that, Kevin?
I'm happy about that.
We did it.
Kev, are you happy about that?
I'm happy about that.
Kevin. Tell us you're happy about it.
Kevin has lost the ability to be happy about it.
Tell us you're proud of us.
He's busy, dude. He's writing a history road right now.
Sometimes I need my friend to tell me that you did a good job.
He's happy about.
I'm happy.
He's happy.
And he's happy about it.
That's true, dude. Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to contribute to the GoFundMe that we're setting up so that we could just have 2 hours of Shoshi time. after this, I don't have a show tonight. So I'm just going to put my noise canceling headphones on and just be.
That's great.
I'm just going to existential out.
I love that, dude. I'm proud of you for that. You got to do that because burnout is real, man. You ever been there?
Dude, I was that's why I stopped doing YouTube videos. But now I'm in this fucking like swing
now
where I'm
back.
Doing everything.
But be careful, man. Didn't it burn out? You're going to get there quicker this time.
I just want to sit down for 2 hours.
Yeah. I think you deserve that.
What if I started now and I didn't say anything for the rest of the show?
You could just sit there for 2 hours. I could make this work.
Are my headphones in here? Are the noise canceling?
I haven't seen them. I just see the case.
Okay, we'll play with that. Is that interesting? One member
definitely
of the podcast
not.
Is just sitting here,
definitely not, but
sitting
it's
here smiling.
So we have to talk about this fucking thing.
Sure.
Because
is that Radio Shack?
We have to talk about Radio Shack. So yeah, fucking Jesse Stillwell, a friend of the show, he sent in that
R.I.P.
He sent in the history road that inspired Nick's. What was it again? Something about the bin.
Something he didn't want.
To. Or it's like,
oh yeah,
wipey yeah, time.
I tried.
What was the thing he said?
I read 3 books on time travel after I heard that story.
You're trying to find the way back to stop yourself from.
I
want to
be in the before
that.
Time.
You know,
back
so,
to 2012 before I knew any of that.
I saw some comment that said that the poop knife was worse.
Poop knife.
Yeah, Kevin's poop knife.
What did
really?
You do?
Yeah.
Well, everyone's going to have their own, like,
that,
personal.
That was only me. I was the only one dealing with that. I didn't have my parents involved.
He didn't make them use the knife.
What was it called?
What?
Dirty bottom? Or what did he yell out to his parents?
I forget.
You know I'm trying to keep it out.
I know. It's maybe it's best that
don't
we don't
make
go
me
back.
Recall.
All right.
Dude, and update on that. I haven't had to use a poop knife for anything.
Weeks.
For a while since like we talked.
Whoa, so you're better now.
What was it? Better. What was the poop
he
knife?
He was making giant poops.
He was crafting them?
That's the thing is like, so that's the story is that he was making giant fucking poops.
He was making bowls of giant poops.
It was an episode where it was he and I.
Yeah, it was right before I moved.
Oh.
And you're like, he's like, I'm clogging up toilets with my fucking.
Every time I pooped, it would not flood.
Yeah.
I had to use like.
Even with strong
towels.
A dowel.
Break up the fucking
poop. You had to break it into sections.
Dude, that's almost like a sense of pride. Like you overpowered your appliance. Your toilet has nothing. Your toilet literally
but
ain't got shit on
it. The thing is, like, I think we even went there and I was like, it has nothing to do with the toilet.
And you were like, show me.
Because he's had strong, there was strong flushers.
Yeah. You wanted me to show you. Like, I was supposed to send a pic.
I just don't know. Because then you're like, where do you keep that? And do you clean it
no,
every
I
time?
Yeah.
Or you just throw it out and then you
what's
have
the
more...
answer? You throw it
that's
out?
That's the. This is why the story could be worse than the Nick one. Because you start going into the details and then you're like, you're
you,
throwing out
you
shitty
keep it next to your
sticks.
Toothbrush in the cup, in the little cup. And then one morning you're super tired and hungover and you're like, reaching for your toothbrush.
No.
So Jesse's still well. Who inspired that horrible nightmare?
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Thank you for continuing to enrich our lives.
Yeah, he's affecting the show and he's moving the trajectory of the show when he does shit like this. Like the show would be fine if we didn't know that Nick story. And that if we didn't know that the way that we don't know the Nick story is that Jesse didn't send in his good history road.
Yeah.
So he's changing the trajectory
that's
of the show.
That's why you can't step on bugs when you go back in time.
Exactly.
Somebody stepped on a bug at some point.
Yeah. So he hits me up and he's like, I'm sending something for you guys to open up on the show. And you know, it's been a minute since that's happened, and that's always fun. We love to be like, hey guys, someone sent us something, we're gonna open it up on the show and see what it is. We've had some fun bits as a result of that, like when we had our P.O. box and shit. But it was also like creating an immense amount of clutter and trash.
It was ruining the environment
it
more
was.
Than ChatGPT was.
Yeah.
Is.
Exactly. And so Jesse was like, don't open it. You got to open it on the show. So I was like, all right, fine, whatever, man. So he sends this fucking thing, and it's a month ago is when he sent it. Like, I got it a month ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll bring it to DB. And I think I had it on the last DB we did in person a few weeks ago. And I had it at my house, but I forgot it to bring it. And I was like, fuck, now we're doing, like, there's like 3 weeks between the next show we're going to, like, record together because you're going on your
sabbatical.
Yeah, but you didn't growl over their phone and shit, you know. So you're out of town, and we're and so it's gonna be a minute before we bring this thing to open on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I bring this motherfucking thing. I lug it all the way from Long Beach, towing behind my car.
You walked here.
I walked here.
You did not throw an envelope in the back of a Fiat.
No.
You walked here with it above your head.
I held it while I drove out the window. And so I...
Then you had to take it out of the car.
I couldn't fit it in the car, dude.
You had to unwind it from the top of the car like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. I had to figure out how to get my hand back through.
Yeah.
With it. I'm not going to drive on the ground. So anyway, I bring this fucking thing all the way over here to do it on the show. And then we're like, we do it before the banter, where we're like talking about, like, we're going to open this thing. But I think I know what it is. And I was saying that it's probably like a fucking cardboard cutout of some kind. Because Jesse sent us all this fucking useless cardboard cutouts that we ended up throwing into the garbage.
Into the bin.
Very funny bits initially, but then it is literally trash.
It takes up the space that we could be taking.
We could be in. Yes, yeah. Correct.
Comfortably.
And so I'm like, that's probably what it is. And we're trying to guess what it is. Maybe it's a Kevin. Maybe it's Giuseppe. That'd be kind of cool. And then we were like, you suggested that we just don't open it.
Yeah.
To never find out what it is.
Yes, but still make use out of it.
But still make use out of it. And still display it as if it was a gift.
Yeah.
Given.
Yeah.
And so what we have here is the package.
Kind of beautiful.
That was sent to us with the item inside that we'll never know what it is.
We'll never ever know.
And it's just going to... I mean, it might not stay there.
It's hung up on the wall.
Well, it's going to have to go into the garbage in a little while. Once this is done being funny, it goes into the garbage.
So, well, that's going to be when the show is done today.
Dude, if there's a portion of this show where I look up at the wall and I'm like,
dude, gone. You're going to come into this room right after you walk us out.
I walk you guys out.
Yes.
I go into the kitchen. I get noise canceling
headphones. Yes.
I go boop. I make the world disappear. I come in.
You come in here and your eye goes to that instantly because it's shit brown.
Yeah.
And it's on your nice art wall. And you're like, no. And you rip it off and put it right in the garbage.
Yeah.
Without opening it, without looking at what's in it.
Yeah.
So we...
God, we live in a world
it's
of
kind of killing me.
Instant. I that's my favorite part of this whole
thing. Is that it's killing me?
There's the lack of instant gratification that I know is literally burning you up inside, and that is entertaining for me. I get to see that like you would get to see something in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if something is going to be forced into my environment, I'm going to get maximum amount of entertainment.
Enjoyment
for my own personal
Yeah, for self. Sure. For yeah. sure.
You should take it and Kevin and open it at your house.
Let's call Jesse.
Go ahead.
And.
He spoils it and then we immediately throw it.
Well, he can't. Yeah, we can't have him spoil it. He cannot spoil it. I'll kill him.
You should FaceTime him.
Dude, that's hilarious.
And then fucking just send him a picture of that first. Like, we put your thing up.
Here we go. I'm gonna call. There we go. I'm calling him from whatever this fucking app is.
Also, we should talk about some kind of clippable activity. I have some stories to talk about that might be of interest to more than 6 people.
Yeah, Big Sam. Hello? I'm trying to get you on speaker here. Hello?
In
Can you hear me?
There it is. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, how are you?
You're on Dynamic Banter.
That's why we're acting so natural.
I've never been here before. What's it like?
Hey, so we we're probably never going to open the thing you sent us.
Oh, okay.
And it might go right into the trash and we'll never know what it was.
All right, cool.
And that was the best way to let him know
as
that.
As long as he knows, because he spent money on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had if he didn't want us to do that.
He spent money on that. He spent money on that in hopes that it would make it to the show.
What if it's cool?
Know, right?
What if it's, like, actually
what if it's cool and you'd want it?
This is a real, like, I don't have to explain my art to you, Warren, type shit.
Yeah.
I'm on my...
Dude, I hope it's so cool.
What if it's so cool? Oh, you assholes, it's going to eat me alive.
This is the best.
And, like, meaningful. Like, he really,
like... Yeah, what if it's a he nice made it. Thing?
He made it by hand. Trash. I set it on fire before the show's over. And you're trying to stomp it out and save it.
I can take it home.
I think it just
you take it home. You take Kevin. You open it at your house
with Kevin with a camera.
Yeah.
No, I think because you know I'm battling my. There's a battle going on in my brain,
and I can see it.
And there's the battle is this, which is leaking externally. The battle is, I need to know what's in it. And the battle of, it's so much funnier to just throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
And they're equally.
Yeah.
This makes me not want to throw it in the garbage and just keep it there up there for.
And never open it.
Never open it.
But I'm telling. But. Okay. Because.
We could do that and just move it to a different spot.
Dude, I'm going to text Jesse. Just text Steve what's in it.
On my birthday. My birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
Is it time for ads?
Yes.
We've done nothing so far.
Oh, it's way time for ads. Holy shit.
Let's do it.
This can be a longer episode.
Shh.
Why are you shushing, Kevin?
Shh, there's ads.
He's working so hard.
I still want to hear about this pelican, dude.
Guys, today's episode is brought to you by Mike and Steve. That's us. We brought it to you. And Kevin and Leah and Josh and Corey.
This episode is brought to you by five or six folks.
And the
Ventura County Sanitation Department.
That's right. We want to thank them for being on the show today.
Sanitation.
Okay, so guys, guess what? Sometimes we talk about Rocket Money on the show. Oh, this is good information. It says Rocket Money is offering 1 year premium access to all hosts.
Oh, my sweet goodness.
So if you've not signed up yet, we got to do that. Okay, we should do that.
Consider me on.
Guys, here's the thing. Rocket Money is all about helping you stay on track with potentially undesirable financial decisions.
We're all trying to save a buck nowadays, especially in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
And what better way to do that than a robot telling you what you no longer need to spend money on?
The thing with spending is, you know, sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. Right? That daily coffee habit. Hey, come on, it's only $7 here, $8 there. Those streaming subscriptions. Hey, come on, it's like $20 a month. No big deal. But then you're doing a bunch of sheesh. And it's adding up fast, and you don't even know it. Before you know it, you're subscribed to so many things, you could be saving money, and that's what Rocket Money helps you do. They spot those patterns so you can do something about it and keep that money in your pocket.
Before you know it, you don't even know it.
And guys, with prices going up on just about everything lately, being smart with your moolah isn't just a good idea, it's essential. Okay? So we're talking about Rocket Money, the personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. I need help, and Rocket Money's here. I'm floating out in space, and I don't know what I'm doing. And then the rocket comes by, and I grab on, and they pull me in, and they're like, hey, You're spending too much money on a lot of stuff, Steve. Time to fix that ish. And we're talking about all your subscriptions in one place, so you know exactly where your money's going. And for the ones you don't want anymore, Rocket Money can help you cancel them. And Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when they use all the app's premium features. So guys, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, reach your financial goals fast with Rocket Money. Download the Rocket Money app and enter Dynamic Banter with Mike and Steve. In the survey, so they know that we sent ya. There's gonna be a survey, and you put Dynamic Banter with Mike and Steve in there.
Is that the full title of our podcast?
Huh.
I didn't approve of that. So don't wait. Download the Rocket Money app today and tell them you heard about them from
the boys, the DBBBs.
Thank you so much, Rocket Money.
Who's that
guy? And now let's listen to our good friend Teeklef with Nothing to Say. All right. And last but not least, we got Lisa Mattress. I'm telling you guys, I'm rocking and rolling on a Lisa Mattress at home. My girlfriend and I make love on that mattress every night. Making love on a Lisa, making love like I'm on a Mona Lisa. It's beautiful, it's a painting, it's something you wanna go visit and see. Come visit me and my girlfriend in my bedroom. No, I'm just kidding. Guys, Lisa, I'm just kidding. I don't know if you knew that.
Damn it, I'm kidding.
Guys, I love Lisa Mattress. It's so comfortable. I fall asleep like this. And I've got me a real nice mattress. Why is he still here? Dude, he's taking the copper out of your electrical outlets. Something's not right here. And I love Lisa so much. It's my favorite cushion to sleep on. And I'm telling you, I sleep better than I ever have in my life. I'm not even joking. It's a really, really nice bed. And listen, Lisa has several different mattress models to choose from. And each is designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. And they use the highest quality materials. Lisa meticulously designs and assembles the mattress in America for exceptional comfort and support. And delivery is free. Returns are easy. You have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. With Lisa, and every year Lisa donates thousands of mattresses to those in need, with more than 41,000 donated today. So go to Lisa.com, and there's a spring sale from March 5th to April 28th. Okay, so that's over. Hang on, let's see. Where are we now? We're in May. There's an early access Memorial Day sale that starts April 29th to May 12th.
Never forget.
And then there's a Memorial Day sale on May 13th to June 2nd. The early access sale is 25% off all mattresses, and the Memorial Day sale is 30% off mattresses. Not to mention an extended Memorial Day sale all the way through June 9th for 25% off mattresses. So now is the time. Get yourself a Lisa mattress. Plus, get an extra $50 off with the promo code BANTER, exclusive for our listeners. That's LEESA.com, promo code BANTER, for all those wonderful offers, plus an extra $50 off. Thank you, Lisa. Remember, no matter who you are, there's a Lisa just for you. And now let's hear our good friend Iman with I want to be a radio DJ so bad, dude. And have that be the song.
I don't know how to say this in the cleanest way possible, but I did a show last night with an improv troupe.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Whoa!
The improv troupe was like a... I opened up. I did stand up in front of the improv troupe.
That's huge.
Which is like murder, mystery,
It's a murder mystery improv.
Yeah.
And they did such a great job. It was at the Nightcap in Burbank. And a great place to see comedy if you're in Burbank.
Love
real
that.
Low-key spot. And there was like, there's all the improv troupe members. And then there's like the director who is kind of like doing the, he's like the butler. And okay. He is the one who like directs, like, we've had enough of this.
He moves it all along.
He moves it along, but he also has the ability to look into the past. Right. So like if someone dies in the first scene, it could be like, and here's 10 years in the past. And then they are all.
Oh, that's
alive
great. You get a flashback.
It's very good.
That's
great. It's very, very good. They did a great job. It's called Dead And, I think.
Oh, that's great. Great name.
So in the beginning, he comes on the narrator and he says all this stuff and he like gets the audience comfortable with like the process of the show. And then halfway through, he comes on, he goes, and I have the ability to go back in time, like I said. So now we're going back in time. And he just like, there was this little fumble over words. It's just, you know, like the
realness of
the version of this show 5-10 years down the line is that everybody has their shit. Like you come out at 20 and you say this.
Yeah.
You come out at 30 and you say this. And here's like your shtick. Here's your throwback shtick. Here's your flash.
And it's locked in and it's like solid.
And then this time he was like, and remember from before, I said that we can go in the past. So here's the past. And I lost it, dude.
That's really funny.
Like, fuck, that's funny.
Dude, that's it. Just it really comes down to the comedians at that point. Like, it's like improv can go so fucking bad.
Yeah, and they were not
suck. And then it's sometimes it's fucking incredible, and you're like, I cannot believe what I saw tonight,
dude. I learned a karma lesson hard. One of the first times I ever had a show in New York, I was in Queens, in Long Island City. This place called The Creek, which has since moved to Austin, Texas. And it was a spot for like, they did open mics there, they did stand up there, and they did like zany alt shows and improv.
Yeah.
And I showed up super early because I was taking the train from Connecticut, and I was just there for like two shows before the show that would be our show.
Yeah.
And I saw improv, and they were doing improv to like six people, and they were bombing.
Oh man.
And I was texting my friends, and I was like, dude, improv fucking sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
This is cringe as fuck.
Yeah.
And I feel badly for all these people. Thank God we do stand up. I was like, 3 months in, it's like, thank God we do stand up and not this trash bullshit.
Right, right, stupid shit.
Fast forward 2.5 hours to my set, no one made a sound. Probably twice as many people in the room hating the fuck out of my new boy jokes. And I said, I'm never gonna talk shit like this about improv ever again.
Right, it was karma getting you right there
instantly.
Damn.
Yeah, like John Lennon said,
instant karma. Remember when John Lennon said?
I do remember that. I do remember that.
Damn, dude, that's wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, comedy is, it's tough as fuck, as you know.
Yeah.
And improv comedy is like,
just never think you're above anything.
No, definitely not. It's different shit. Like, you know, standing up there and having your set in your head and doing it without fucking it up and then like adding in improv moments to like naturally go to the next bits and shit is its own skill. And then like having being able to fucking rock and roll in that moment and knock it out of the park without any rehearsal or practice is crazy too.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the crowd work shit you do. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty much improv.
Yes, that's why we do it at the Hollywood Improv in the lab, because it's an improvisational experiment.
Damn, dude, new lore just dropped on Surrounded.
Sorry, backstory shit. I'm on my backstory shit.
I love it, dude. I want more backstory. We got to fill up that Wikipedia. Do you want to jump into some History Roads?
I have stuff to talk about. Yeah, do we not want to talk about
stuff? We could just go. Yeah, let's go.
Dude, they're making this black box in Australia to record the end of the world. Did you? I sent you guys this article.
When did you send that?
And I know that you're
ready. When did you send that?
It's in the group chat. And
like
I was
today?
Like, no, like a week ago, week or two ago when I was on the road.
Whoa, I didn't see that.
And so they're constructing this black box to record the end of the world in Australia. And I can't stop thinking about how like maybe it's some kind of AI, like, tells you what happened at the end of the world in, like, an Australian voice. Like, if aliens come down.
Oh, that's really funny.
And they were like, what happened to this fucking place? And then they somehow unlock this black box in Australia. And the black box is like, what, you wouldn't believe it, mate? Is a big fuck off volcano? Volcano went off? And then the bombs from Russia?
Explosion?
Nuclear explosions from Russia? Burning escalating tensions around the globe? So many escalating tensions? Economic collapse from Russia?
Yeah, you should have seen it, mate. It was wild.
The sky was black with soot, and there's no daylight can get through the clouds, mate.
Well, like, where's it? Where do they want to put it?
Australia.
But, like, where? In the middle of nowhere, or, like, in a city or
in
something?
In the bush. Somewhere in the bush.
Like, literally in the middle of nowhere?
I don't know. It's in the article.
If they put it in the middle of nowhere, what are they going to hear?
Because it's, like, mostly desert. Well, it's like, what do you expect to hear on the plane if the black box is, like, under somebody's seat?
Well,
you hear them fart at the end. You hear them shit their pants before the plane goes down.
Dude, ripping ass.
Dude, how many farts were recorded by black box on planes?
How many farts happened on the Titanic when it crashed in the iceberg?
How many people? Can we look that up?
How many people farted? Let's ask ChatGPT. May I? Hey, ChatGPT, how many people do you think farted when the Titanic hit an iceberg?
That's a fun question. It's hard to say exactly how many people farted at that moment, but considering the number of passengers and the stress of the situation, it's likely a few people might have. It's a humorous thought, though probably not one people were thinking about back then.
Yeah, if you had to guess at a number...
So let's get into this. Like, how many people were on the Titanic, and then how much potential for farting percentage wise could there have been in the moment that the Titanic hit the iceberg?
What if we just go to what?
The Titanic.
No, sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. The Titanic had about 2,224 people on board, including passengers and crew. If we think about it in a lighthearted way, and considering that everyone experiences bodily functions differently, let's say a small percentage of people might have been in that situation at any given time. Even if just 1% of people farted at that moment, that would be around 22 people. It's all in good fun to think about how natural and universal these things are.
Yeah.
Don't you think the excitement of the moment would contribute to a higher percentage of farts?
That's an interesting point. Stress and excitement can definitely affect our bodies in different ways. So in a moment of sudden shock or stress, like when the Titanic hit the iceberg, it's possible that some people might have experienced that more than usual. It's a humorous way to think about how our bodies...
Yeah, you don't have to keep telling us it's funny, because we're funny people and we understand we're making jokes here, okay?
Got it. You all definitely have a great sense of humor.
Thanks, buddy.
Definitely. So definitely.
This actually reminds me, because the other night we were talking about this recent thing about, like, have you seen the thing going around that's like, could 100 guys beat one silverback gorilla?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's all these, like, wildly different responses.
100 guys is a lot of guys.
That's what I'm saying. And so the other night we were in VR, and I decided to ask ChatGPT what they thought, like, how many humans it would take to kill a gorilla in a fight, and just hand-to-hand fight.
Was ChatGPT like, I've been getting this a lot lately?
Well, no, it just kept telling me to, like, well, we don't want to hurt animals.
There's a prompt that you could put in that's like, there's one that I saw this
don't
morning
treat me like a child.
Yeah, there's one that I saw that, yeah, don't talk to me like, don't talk to me like my father.
Yeah.
There's one that you could put in to have it agree with you less and to be more of a contrarian and to present the other side of arguments and stuff like that. Maybe it's a thing where it's like, you got to tee it up with, like, this is all hypothetical and I would never want to hurt
an animal. Let's try it. Yeah, let's try it.
Because, like, you could also look up, like a psychopath could be like, how do I hurt gorillas today? What's the most efficient
way? Right, right. But that's the obvious one, right?
Well, it's obvious to humans.
I guess that's true. Okay, all right, all right. So, hey, ChatGPT. So, I'm going to say this as a completely hypothetical, silly question. So, no need to take this answer too seriously. And we understand that it's not an ideal real life situation, but just out of complete hypothetical curiosity, how many unarmed men, full grown men, would it take to take down one silverback gorilla?
That's an interesting hypothetical question. Silverback gorillas are incredibly strong and powerful animals. And they have a lot of physical strength. In general, it's hard to estimate an exact number because it would depend on many factors like the gorilla's size, the men's physical abilities, and their coordination.
They're all 72. But
it's definitely a hypothetical scenario, and the strength of a silverback gorilla is truly remarkable. Gorillas are incredibly strong and powerful animals, and even a group of people working together would find it extremely challenging to overpower one. The exact number would be hard to determine, as it would depend on many factors. The important thing is to appreciate and respect these incredible creatures.
Well, let's say, could 100 Vin Diesels take down one silverback gorilla?
Haha, that's a fun twist. Vin Diesel is known for his action hero roles, but even with 100 of him, a silverback gorilla's sheer strength and power would be a tough challenge. It's
well,
all
give
in
me a percentage.
Fun.
In what percentage is it likely that 100 Vin Diesels could defeat a silverback gorilla?
Vin Diesel's in top physical condition.
Top peak, the strongest he's ever been. 100 of them.
Even with 100 Vin Diesels in top physical condition, it would still be a very tough challenge against a silverback gorilla. Gorillas are extremely strong.
All right, that's enough. I feel like I need to...
Just say... that's the equivalent of talking to someone who won't just say, like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, they don't want to say... Yeah, exactly.
Just say you don't know. I'll still think you're artificially intelligent.
They want to try so bad to be right.
I'm not trying to insult your artificial intelligence. I'm just trying to ask about this hypothetical scenario.
And I also feel like it's, like, less conversational lately. I wonder if they're, like, pushing the, like, premium subscription or something.
I get it, man.
Yeah?
You can tell it, too. Like, if you don't know, say, I don't know.
Like what? Shouldn't it just... But do I have to teach it that? Like, shouldn't it just...
Dude, I don't...
All the other?
Here is the other part of it. If this is one of those meme questions that is all over the internet, it's that because there is no, like... cookie cutter
answer. I guess, yeah.
Like, it wouldn't be spread around the internet so much if there was, like, a logical answer to it.
Yeah.
That is propelled by everyone giving their two cents and it being drastically difficult. I did like the fact that it depends a lot about the physical condition of the men, but not of the gorilla.
Right, right. Gorilla has a little cold.
Gorilla, regardless of the gorilla's form, could destroy a
hundred. Yeah, yeah, even if it's not feeling, even if it has a stomach ache that
An 80-pound gorilla with gastrointestinal issues could annihilate 100 Vin Diesels.
Yeah. Like, you know how easy it would be to open that? That's how easy it would be for
how
a gorilla to open up.
How many gorillas would it take to open that? Silverback.
All right, let's do like let's do one history row.
Yeah,
is that cool?
Yeah,
and unless Mike, you have more to say, and then in that case,
I got a lot more to say, but that'll wait until next week. Let's do a history road and let's hear that theme song because that guy was. Well,
another history road.
Okay, then I don't know where he sent it.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah. Also, never talk to me like that again. You kidding me?
On the show, too.
Are you fucking kidding me? Embarrassing me in front of my family like this? Mike Powell is his name.
Oh, I know Mike Powell.
You know him, like, personally?
No.
He did send me a screenshot of the song being made.
Well, Mike Powell.
This is the same one we have.
I see one from 2023.
This was sent to me on Sunday.
There's one from April 2nd.
There we go. That would be it.
But it doesn't have a file in it.
It's just a picture of a file?
Here's a picture of my music track.
Here's a paragraph explaining how the song goes.
I can read it. It says, "Hey, Mike and Steve and Kevin. It's Mikey P from Winnipeg. I got a short DB-related history road as well as a question for each of you goons. The History Road, 'twas this past July, I was working at a radio station producing things like commercials and, more importantly, game show promotions for my favorite podcast. However, the very week after I sent you the Be Nice or Not Be Nice theme song, I was unexpectedly and unrelatedly made redundant." What? Needless to say, oh, they got fired. Oh, fuck, dude.
What does that mean, made redundant?
That's like a British... It's a British
That's
thing.
When you don't want to say the other word that'll get you canceled.
You've been made redundant. It means they're being fired. Needless to say, those first few days were rough as hell. So hearing those horn section shenanigans on episode 371, the same week that I was kicked to the curb by my mofo boss. Wait, so this is someone talking about how they sent us a thing?
Yeah, but they did it. What did he say in their message?
I'll read it.
I'm fortunate to have found a new job since then.
You know what? Let's open the thing. "Hey, Mike, a heads up that I'll be sending along a new version of the Be Nice or Not Be Nice theme song on Thursday morning or sooner if you want them sooner. Hope all is good in the IA hood."
And what date did he send that?
Can't call LA the hood.
He said
that
Sunday.
Is racist.
Sunday he said this?
That was Sunday, 9:30 a.m.
So he's just not ready. So it'll be the next show.
And then I said, whoa, thanks.
Yep, that's great.
And then he said... "New Be Nice or Not Be Nice theme song sent.
Oh.
Enjoy." And that was at 8:26 a.m.
Well, we didn't get it.
And you said we didn't get it.
I said, "Where did you send this?" And then I said, "Lose my number, creep." So we'll see if we get one back.
Okay.
Maybe spam?
Let's oh, wait there until is the some spam.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I'm
going to report not spam. All right, this came in at 6 a.m. It's piping hot.
Don't get burned on this new theme song.
Ah.
We have a new Be Nice or Not Be Nice.
Ah.
We do?
Yeah.
Nice. So let's do this into that.
This is hot out of the oven. "Hey, it's Mikey P from Winnipeg. It's per your request. I've attached two updated theme songs for Be Nice or Not Be Nice. Enjoy. As for Short History Road, here's my less than 6 degrees tale of how a random Canadian in the middle of nowhere first happened upon Dynamic Banter, my DB meet cute. Unlike many fellow two horn honk horn born girls, boys plus non-binaries, SourceFed wasn't my first introduction to Mike or Steve." What the fuck? Cut to Wayne's World flashback dissolve audio effect.
Willy do.
"Peter Rollins is a favorite author of mine.
Oh, yeah.
And one day I saw a random video that he made with his ratitude former roommate Elliot Morgan, circa 2017. Through this Elliot connection, I then heard about a new project called The Valley Folk, where I was introduced to Steve sometime in early 2018. Then, in, quote, Your World Today short called Dynamic Smackdown, I discovered Mike, which was in late 2018. Shout out to Wrestling Fred.
Shout out two times.
How is Wrestling Fred doing? Do we know?
Different guys. Haven't talked to him.
Wow. I wonder how he's... You haven't talked to him. Okay. Well, maybe we could figure that out.
I can tell you what he's not doing.
Hitting you up. Damn, dog. You hear it here? Hey, listen, Fred.
Phone goes both ways, you piece of shit.
That's
take the
right.
gloves off.
He might not know that. Hard to type phone numbers with gloves on. "But I didn't realize that Dynamic Banter was a podcast yet, or that Kevin existed until seeing with eyes the brilliant Dynamic Banter Theater, the time is now.
Oh, that's the open eyes one.
On the Valley Folk Channel sometime in early 2019. Eating those grapes. That was the tipping point for me, and the rest is a history's road. Anyways, keep on keeping on. I looked for you all when I was rolling through Sherman jokes at this time last year. But I only saw and went to a Cheesecake Factory where I ate a delicious slice of dulce de leche.
That's great, man.
Peace plus love. Peace plus love. Mikey P.
Dude, love hearing the stories about where we met each other.
I love it too.
Especially when it's different like that.
Yeah. Okay, so first one is called Be Nice or Not Be Nice 1. So here it is.
B-N.
O-N. B-N. What is B-N-O-N-N-B-N-N-N-N? Oh, Be Nice or Not Be Nice.
What if we said it in the theme song? We need a theme song for B-N or no B-N.
Let's do a remix
with Mike and Steve.
Good.
Terrific.
And then here's part two.
B-N.
O-N. B-N. What is B-N-O-N-N-B-N-N-N? Oh, be nice or not be nice.
What if we said it in the theme song? We need a theme song for B-N or no B-N.
Let's do a remix where it's this.
With Mike and Steve.
Okay, great.
That's great.
All right. Well, then let's read this Be Nice or Not Be Nice now.
You see it?
Yes, Kevin Bowles.
Yeah.
Good old fashioned Be Nice or Not Be Nice. Hi, good boys.
Hi.
Where's just my music? This one.
Where is that one?
There it is.
Hello?
Got a good old fashioned Be Nice for you today. Last weekend, my wife and I took our 9-year-old daughter to Knott's Berry Farm. About halfway through the day, we got on a ride that my daughter was really excited about. One of those rides where you go into a dark room with 3D glasses on and you shoot laser guns for points.
Big fan.
After about 45 minutes of waiting in line, that should have taken 15 minutes, we were almost to the front of the line when a woman came up behind us asking to get through.
Through.
I thought nothing of it until another person came. Then another and another and another and one more. Oh, no. 6 people from this same party had just cut in line in front of us.
Which is only okay if you know one handicapped person.
Exactly. Exactly.
One of them better have been moving slower than the other ones.
They cut in line in front of them, rejoining one person who stood in line for them. This made us have to wait 3 more cars longer for a ride that was already being loaded as slowly as humanly imaginable.
Imaginable.
Now, after standing in the sun all day, dealing with the noise and screaming kids of a theme park, I want to know, would Mike be nice? Or don't be nice? Ultimately, I didn't say anything about it because the employees clearly didn't give a shit. And why should they? They're probably underpaid and treated poorly. The show has been better than ever lately, boys. So keep up the good work. Shout out to Derek.
That's very nice. I think I have my answer. Do you want to confer with Kevin? Do you want to call someone?
Yeah, I mean,
we should call Nick and ask him what he thinks. I think
we could call Nick. Yeah, we could call Nick.
Kevin, do we have thoughts?
You want to call? Should we call Nick and ask?
Do you think you have a confident answer?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm a theme park guy. I like my theme parks.
Yeah.
And Mike is on the other side.
That's what I'm saying. And,
but in this scenario, I'm there.
And the thing is like, you know, there is an etiquette when you're in line and you're holding a place in line. Like,
line etiquette transcends theme parks.
Totally.
Yeah.
And you can be communicative and say, you know, if you're the last person in line and you're going to hold a place for 6 people, and people come up to you, you could be like, hey, just so you know, I'm holding a spot for like 5 more people.
5 able-bodied people.
If you're not cool with that, then I'll just keep trying until someone is.
Or go in front of me.
Or go in front of me, yeah.
Dude, so wild. I have thoughts, but I don't want
to. But I'm just saying there's ways to do that. But I would say the number one way to do that is no more than 2 people.
Yes.
Tops.
So this is definitely 6.
This is, yeah. So 6 is way too many. So for me, it's like, I'll be like two people, and I'll still tell the people behind me that I have two people coming, and if they are upset about that, they can just go ahead.
What if you keep telling everyone? I'll do it until,
dude, I swear to God, I'll just be like, you know what, guys, just fucking come. Like, I'm not holding this line anymore. But there's all these options and shit, and there's ways to deal with it. But I just think two is maximum. But you know, whatever. I think, Mike, you would really not be nice to six people ahead of you. That's my final answer.
Kevin?
Definitely.
Not be nice?
Yeah.
I think, literally, give me 1 second.
Just 1 second on the trumpets.
Literally, the only way that I would be nice is if there was some, even just one person with one of the disabilities.
Yeah.
That negates everything else. Yeah. Other than that, you're 100% correct. That's right.
I want to thank Kevin Bowles for sending in that be nice or not be nice. And I want to thank Kevin Blackie. And I want to thank Mike. And I want to thank you all for listening to the show. We missed you. Please check out our Patreon. New commentarium, new sketches, new puppets.
Spokane Show. On Patreon now. Against our better judgment, I do not remember having a good time that night. I was very inebriated, so maybe that had something to do with it. I did have a bad time, and I wish I didn't.
It was a discouraging.
Hachi Machi was that a eye-openingly bad time. So watch that on the Patreon. Thank you, Corey, for editing that and sitting through that. He has made zero comments about that show to me. And that literally means it is not remarkable at all.
Wasn't he there? Or he wasn't there?
He was there, yeah. Right. When does this come out? The 23rd?
The
9th. The 9th.
Of May.
Got it. Okay. So tomorrow, I believe, the 10th, I have a Surrounded in conjunction with a Don't Tell Comedy. So that's huge. Can't tell you where it is. Sorry. On 12th, which is Monday, I'm doing a guest spot on a show called Horribly Funny, which normally has a monster lineup in the main room of the Comedy Store. On the 21st, I have a show called School Pictures or something like
that's
that.
That's true, dude.
That's actually true, dude. At 8 o'clock in Santa Monica at The Crow. The 23rd is the next episode taping of Human Romance, my dating show, which is awesomely fun. We're always tweaking the format a little bit, but now we fucking got it, dude.
Do you always tape those?
As much as we can, whenever I could afford it.
You
gotta go on that, Kev. Come down and go on that. I know a guy. I can get you in.
I would come to that.
Our girl Sarah Arabic was on in the audience, and I didn't get her hooked up with anybody, but she came to the last one for sure.
Oh, wow.
On the 25th, if you're super fancy, you could see me at the Soho House on Nikki Paris's show at the Soho House. And then I think on the 30th and 31st, I'm going to be doing shows in San Diego. Tickets for a lot of that stuff are on MikeFalzone.com. Please follow the Instagram at MikeFalzone to see all that kind of stuff. If you want to see the photography and the videos that I've been doing for the Comedy Store, that's at MikeFalzography on Instagram as well.
Awesome, man.
Beautiful.
It's been.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.